back with Rosie on the House, covering one of my favorite topics, water, particularly water in the West. You know, I go back home to South Louisiana. It ain't so important. Not so critical. It's a little muddier back then. It's a little rustier back then. But the water out here in the West is, again, Miss Rita, it's
whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting.
Whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting. And that has proven so true through the many civilizations that have occupied the entire Western area forever. So we're talking a little bit about water storage. And when these farmers got the CAP Canal, they were given a $1.5 million allocation, and they were able to use as much or as little of it as it was. If I remember in my vague little memory, it was a little bit more expensive than they were anticipated. A lot of them didn't take as much as was quite anticipated. But we started recharging land aquifers for that.
Right.
Those are just big underground bathtubs?
In a sense, yes. It is literally a bathtub, if you visualize it, filled with sand and gravel. And, of course, there's clay, there's caliche. We've all run into those things when we've dug our swimming pools. But there's enough space in these underground aquifers to fill with surface water. Why can we do that? Well, there used to be groundwater there. I mean, these used to be giant seabeds, right? So groundwater seeps in over the millennia, but the farmers and municipalities, but primarily farmers for decades, pumped the water because there was no CAP system. They
right.
didn't have access to much surface water.
Couldn't depend on the rain.
Exactly. That came and went, but you would build pumps, and these pumps would pump the water out, and that left space in the underground aquifer. So we come along in the 90s, and we say, we're not using all of our Colorado River water. Let's divert it and create recharge basins or direct injection wells and fill those aquifers back up. And we've done that to the tune of over 4 million acre feet since the mid-1990s.
So water table's critical. As a matter of fact, what were you saying during the break that really caught me by complete surprise? Buckeye is waterlogged? Do they know that?
They do know that, and certainly...
You wouldn't know it by driving through it.
It is true, because in Maricopa County roughly is a basin, and so they're not, the political limits don't define the boundaries, but they happen to be fairly similar. So if you think about the far northeast corner of Maricopa County, and then the water itself heads south and west and ends up coming out, if you will, the bathtub in the Buckeye area, Buckeye, Goodyear, Avondale, so the very southwestern corner of Maricopa County. And the water can drain into the Gila River. But primarily what it does is it backs up first, and it inundated the agricultural lands in Buckeye and Goodyear and so on, and you had root zone inundation, and the farmers couldn't grow their crops because the quality of the water is pretty salty. It's not a very good quality of water. So it's technically waterlogged, which means you can use that water without having to comply with certain conservation requirements that we put into effect back in the 1980s.
So in my mind, and in my eye, my mind's eye, I could drive through Buckeye seeing farmers pumping water out of the ground into a ditch to make it go away.
That's exactly what happens. It's a true story.
That's absolutely incredible.
Yes. And, you know, and it's of concern to everyone because we're all, you know, wanting to be very efficient about the use of our water, and we don't want it to be wasted. But the problem is the water is such poor quality that it's very, very expensive to treat it for municipal use.
Yeah, I did not mean that as a slight to all of our farming friends. There's hardly any industry that's as efficient with water as our Arizona farmers in particular. But it's just incredible that they could be in that kind of a situation. Mm. You were telling me that water rights have got the legislature pretty busy this session?
It's true. This is a big water year. I think there are probably a half a dozen bills introduced in both the Senate and the House.
The fight's never over?
No. Well, as the water gets more expensive, as it gets scarcer, of course, you know, the temperature in terms of dealing with these issues goes up.
So we've got the budget and we've got water, and that's consuming our legislature pretty much this whole season?
I think that's right. Like I said, there have been a number of bills introduced dealing with management of the Colorado River system, dealing with the management of groundwater in Pinal County, dealing with issues really around the state generally. So it's the whole panoply of water issues this year.
Now, I've heard from someone in Tucson that that because of the CAP, the water table in the greater Pima County area is at, the water table is actually rising. And overall, at 7 million people in the state of Arizona, we're using about the same amount of water as we were in 1960 with 1.5 million.
That's all true. We are much more efficient. I know.
That is a huge declaration to our efficiency.
It absolutely is. Even during my tenure as the director, when I started, we would say it takes 1 acre foot to supply a family of five for a year. Now we say 2 families or 3 families of five can be sustained on 1 acre foot of water, which is basically a football field filled 1 foot deep with water. That's 1 acre foot of water. So that's how much more efficient we've gotten over a very short period of time.
That's awesome. All right. I remember growing up in Scottsdale, we had our mayor, Herb Drinkwater, and Herb struck a deal where we were talking about Havasu and Parker and where the gate is, the head gate for the CAP Canal, that he bought a ranch up there called Planet Ranch, right above Lake Alamo, right along the river, the Bill Williams River and all. And he bought the ranch under the theory that, hey, I'm going to take all that ranch's water, dump it into the CAP, and the city of Scottsdale can tap into that quantity when it gets down to us. How did that work out?
Not so well. It was fraught with environmental challenges. There's third-party impacts. There's always this concern of the metropolitan areas going into rural parts of the state, not just here in Arizona, but in California and elsewhere, and basically sucking those rural communities dry with the need for water in these growing metropolitan areas. Planet Ranch is one example. The city of Phoenix did something similar. Mesa did something similar. In all cases, I think they've all sold those ranches or farms because it simply was not environmentally feasible because of the impacts. It was too expensive, or they found other options that were less expensive.
But that theory, if I have my story right, that theory still in play. Don't we have Kingman kind of upset with us right now?
We do, and I believe there's even legislation this year to that effect. There is some effort by the Central Arizona Water Conservation District to acquire water, and they're the operator of the CAP system, to acquire land and water rights in Mojave County and move that water down through the Colorado River and then ultimately into the CAP system into central Arizona. And, of course, the folks in Mojave County are very concerned that that's a water supply they may need in the future. So there are very active, lively public debates going on about this issue.
You know, when I travel the country and I tell people I'm from Arizona, the same questions always come up. How can you live someplace that gets so hot in the summer that when you take a hike, everything wants to stick you or bite you, the cactus, the scorpions, the cactus, and that has so little water? And then, that's when I jump on my soapbox. Because Arizona probably is in better shape in its forefathers' thought about water, the supply of water. We're in infinitely better shape than any of our surrounding neighbors, for sure. I'll bet you we're in better shape than a lot of the Midwest and West Virginia, I bet.
Well, in many respects, that's true. I was talking with someone today about what's going on in Cape Town, South Africa. They're on the verge of having not enough water by April. Well, part of that is they've had water available to them on such a routine basis that they sort of took it for granted. And you even see that in the East Coast, where communities don't build big storage reservoirs because the water is going to come out of the sky on a routine basis. We, on the other hand, know that water is a blessing and we can go for long periods without it. So we've built all these different kinds of storage facilities, above ground, underground, all sorts of arrangements to deal with drought conditions between the farmers and the cities. So in many, many respects, we're much better prepared.
And then we residents have to count on you to protect what we've got, because everybody wants it.
That's right. I got a full employment contract with water, but it's a great area to be in, and you get the culture and the history of a community all wrapped up with the practical day-to-day issues concerning water.
What do you see the water issues being the next 50 years?
Well, one issue that we really haven't talked about is, in the past, it was the farmers and the municipalities that had the water rights. Now a big water right holder are the tribes, the Native American tribes. So the Fort McDowell Reservation, yeah, they have water rights, as do the Gila River Indian Community, the Akchin, and so on and so forth. They are beginning to lease those water supplies to communities, non-Indian communities, in order to supplement their water budgets. So the question will be, how does water move across what are traditional jurisdictional boundaries? Can it move? And legally, will it be acceptable to the general population? Will water move out of Mojave County and come into central Arizona? Will some of Arizona's water move to California and vice versa? You know, literally, how fluid will it be?
Well, I got a small education in how complicated it is because Jennifer and I have a piece of property at the very headwaters of the San Francisco River in the White Mountains. Mm-hmm. And not only do we have the river flowing across the pasture, but we also have a bubbling artesian well that just bubbles up in the middle of the pasture, waters and irrigates a beautiful area that the horses just love. And I thought, you know what? That spring, that needs to be dammed up, and I need to do like about a 2-acre pond that the grandchildren can start fishing on. So I get a hold of Brown and Brown in Springerville. And I make an appointment, and he's very patient with me. He says, that spring's been kind of the eye of a lot of people in this community for a long, long time. But you'll have to talk to Mr. Judd's daughter to get verification that he gets his water rights. He says, and then the next person you're going to have to talk to is the Akchin Indian tribe on the Gila River, because that water belongs to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a concept known as the string theory. It's true in water. You know, you pull it at one point, and it affects something way down at the end, and you can't see it at the time, but everybody's water rights are related.
Well, at that point, the Rosie and Jennifer's grandchildren's fishing pond became Luna Lake.
Oh, nice.
We weren't going to go through that fight to try and build a 1 or 2 acre little pond. Well, Rita, I can't thank you enough for coming in and kind of sharing all of this. And again, I want the Arizona homeowners to be assured of the fact they don't have to stay awake at night worrying about their water supply in Arizona. We're in good shape.
We really are. We have done our homework for literally a century, so we are in much better shape than any of the states in the Southwest. We're looked to as a model for how we manage our water supplies.
Rita McGuire of McGuire, Pierce & Story Private Firm, former director of Arizona Department of Water Resources. What a wealth of information. Can't thank you enough. This has absolutely been spectacular.
No, my pleasure.
Like I say, I know all y'all care about is the faucet. When you turn it on, hot or cold, you want it delivered. Because of the foresight of our legislatures very early on that saw a dam at the confluence of the Tonto Creek and the Salt River would make a great place for the Roosevelt Lake, and we could come right down that chain, and we did fill a lot of very beautiful canyons. Can't deny it, but that provided us with the security of living here in Arizona for a long, long time.